Once again, if you're able, why don't you put your hands together and love on Jesus? Come on, with your hand clap, why don't you lift your voice to him? Come on, if you haven't done so already, why don't you lift your voice? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, keep that going for just a moment. Come on, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you excited about what the Lord's doing today? Amen. I am thankful for his presence. I'm thankful that we get to come together one more time to worship him. Amen. How many of you this morning are thankful that the Lord gives us one more opportunity? Amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask him, why don't you say, are you going to make it count, Brother Pirtle? Woo! Folks, he keeps good records. Amen. I want to make it count. I want to treat every service that I'm in like it's the most important service I've ever been in my life. Amen. I want to be able to be obedient to what I feel in the Holy Ghost every service. Amen. Whether I am behind the pulpit or whether I'm sitting on the pew, I want to be able to hear the Lord talking to me. Amen. Because without him, I can't make it. Without him, I'm a mess. Amen. Woo, some of y'all are quiet already. Lord, help us. I can't make it without him. Amen. And so I want to be able to lift my hands and love on him. And the world didn't give it. Woo! And I'm not going to allow the world to take it away. I'm not going to allow the effects of life and what's going on right now to dictate whether I worship him or not. Amen. And I do want to say what an honor it is to be in the house of the Lord amongst you great, great folks. I do want to give honor to your pastor and his wife. I love the Cross Whites, and I'm thankful for not only their vision but their leadership, and I give them honor today. And I asked him, how was the trip? And he said, wonderful. He said, we got back at 1 o'clock this morning, and whoo, that's mighty late. And I give you honor, Pastor Cross White, to the ministry represented here today. I give you honor and say God bless you to each of you. To our guests, whom you may be sitting amongst us, I do want to say you worship God the way you know how, and God will do the rest, I promise. Amen. Before I jump into what I feel today, I woke up early, what I consider early in the night this morning. It was around 4 o'clock this morning, and I had a burden just hit my heart. Parents, go to church. Amen. Go to church late. Go to church tired. Come to church if you're angry. Come to church even if it disrupts your important task. We need to be in church even if you got to spend the whole time mom walking around soothing a baby that seems disgruntled. There is something about being in the house of the Lord. Because one day, whether you want to admit it or not, there's going to be those little eyes that have been watching you and those little eyes that have been watching me. They're going to remember when it got hard to live for God, or They're going to remember when mama and daddy, grandma and grandpa faced hardships. They didn't just lay down and forget about the house of God. They will remember that there is a place that I can run to when it seems like everything is falling apart. Amen? You will never regret the example that you set when you build your faith on a place of principle that no matter what's going on in my life, I want to be centrally focused around the church. Amen? The house of God will always be a place that is fulfilling. It will never take from you what you're not willing to lay down. But when we open up our lives, we open up our hearts. I'm telling you that there is a place in the house of God. Woo, it's quiet. It matters, my friend. And I was praying early this morning, Pastor Cross White, and I said, God, give me a love for your house like I haven't had before. I got two little daughters. I got a wife that's watching every move I make. Through the stress of life, through everything that's going on, God has never failed me. And I felt to say that this morning before I get going with what I feel to preach. We're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. And we're all adults in this sanctuary right now. So I hope that you'll just let me preach for a little while. I will be mindful of the time. And hey, I don't know who else seen this morning. When these babies was up here singing and they're nervous as ever, I probably feel like them little kids up here singing, I'm nervous as ever for today. But did y'all see the joy that overcome that little girl's face when she was singing and somebody stood up and started clapping and there was a little bit of confidence that began to be instilled in them children? I wish y'all would help me preach today the same way. Because some of y'all's already looking at me like, oh God, this is fixing to be a hard service. Amen. I don't have any good jokes today. I don't have any like fluffy unicorns to throw at you. All I have is what I have felt in the Holy Ghost, and I'm fixing to just lay it down. Ezekiel 22 and 30, it reads, and I sought a man among them that should. I need everybody to pay attention with me. And I sought a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. You're not just coming to church for yourself. The faithfulness that you have developed in your relationship with God, it is not just for you personally. And then he said that I should not destroy it. And then four words that should convict every individual here today. But I found none. I didn't find anybody that's willing to stand in the gap. I didn't find anybody that's willing to say no. I didn't find anybody that's willing to stand in the gap to say enough is enough. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. But Ezekiel was lamenting, whatever happened to the love? What happened to my people? That God has been so good, he has been so faithful, but because God isn't working the way you think God should work, he gives us the opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm going to show you who's boss. this morning by the help of the Holy Ghost for a little while, if you would allow me. I want to preach on making up the difference. God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I want to tell everybody right now, God's not asking for you just to bring yourself when you're perfect. He's just asking for a willing vessel today. To walk through the doors as you are, but to walk out different. Not just to put on a Pentecostal Sunday best, and not just to put on a Pentecostal 1 and 3 clap. But to say, God, here I am. I am tired of being the same I've always been. Yes. Yes. Amen. One more time, why don't you give me my hand clap? Woo, God help me right now. I'm thankful today that we serve a God that's the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And you may be seated. May I have just a little monitor, please? I sought for a man. Not many. Not mighty. Here we go. Not popular. Just one man that would say, yes, Lord. The hedge was broken down. The wall was fallen. Judgment was coming. But God said, if I can find one man to stand in the gap, I will spare the land. But in a devastation, where Ezekiel would be lamenting, give me one that will be faithful. And a report would come back, but I found none. The question that you and I should be asking today is not, God, can you use me? But let me turn it around on you and say, will you let God use you? Will you allow yourself to lay down the comforts for a moment and say, God, change me? In 1940, Winston Churchill, he would stand alone between Nazi-driven Germany and the collapse of the Western civilization. Parliament wanted to negotiate. Parliament said, let's find common ground. Winston Churchill would famously state that if we open a quarrel between the past and the present, we will lose the future. Yeah. One man to stand in the gap in history would be changed. The difference is the gap between what is and what should be, what I can be and what I am not. It is the magnification of a spiritual deficit that lies between me and God. It don't lie between me and my pastor. It don't lie between me and my brother or my sisters. It is a spiritual deficit that internally and externally affects you and God. The word short, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you look at it, that word short, it means gap. There is a gap in my relationship. There is a problem in my relationship. And if you ever let there be a problem between you and God, my friend, you've lost one of the greatest things in your life. And that is the ability for God to reach down and touch you. Because whenever you start substituting God, my friend, you'll fill it with voids that feel good, that look good, that sound good. But sin will leave you spiritually bankrupt. It rids relationships. And I am thankful today to know that if you repent, if you run to the altar and you say, God, I need you today. Because I'm thankful that when there was that gap, that I could still run to God and say, God, I made a mistake. God, I need you. God, I have fallen short.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know what God does, Pastor Crosswhite? He meets you there. But when we get in the place of the gap, it's hard for God to make up the difference. It's hard for us to say, I am broken, God, and I need you to touch me. I have said this before, and I want to echo it once again. It's a sad reality when Calvary, Brother Pirtle, when Calvary won't be enough for some people. Because they've already made up their mind that they're too far gone for God to touch. That the gap has become so broad, it's like a great gulf that is fixed between you and me. But I'm thankful that yet when I was a sinner, He still knew my name. If there is something you can get excited about this morning, it is that you walked into the house of God and He still knows your name. I'm thankful I got three people that's excited that He knows where you are, that He knows the way that you take. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because when I fell short and I recognize my failure, I'm thankful that He still knows my name. God is not just looking for someone just to stand in the gap. He is looking for somebody that is willing to say, God, I recognize that I need help. One of the most shameful things that we as Pentecostals have developed, it is a lack of saying sorry. Pastor Crosswhite, can I just preach my heart? It's a lack of true accountability. Because in relationship with God, it requires submission. And when we are trying to find the bridge to the gap, it forces you to look at yourself honestly. That, God, I am struggling right now, but God, I don't always have to struggle. God, I am failing right now, but God, I know that you're able to pick me up and you're able to help me today. Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity.
1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus, I need everybody to listen to me right now. We got to quit allowing our religion just to cover up our wrongdoings. We got to be able to have a backbone enough to change. Not just to wear the badge of being Pentecostal, not to wear the badge of being apostolic, and to stop not only looking the part, but also stop allowing yourself to move forward, because we're trying to get powerful before we're spiritual.
There you go.
God, I wish somebody could feel my heart right now. This place is full of potential. There's people sitting in this house this morning that God's ready to use you, that God's ready to propel you forward. But all you can do is see how big the gap is, that you've never allowed God to feel, you've never allowed God to move forward from that. And I'm thankful that we walked into a house this morning that it's not just full of rules and mandates. But when you walk through the doors, you can feel the mercy, you can feel the blood flowing.
Thank you, Lord.
You can feel grace. You can feel tender mercies. As a young individual was singing earlier, and he maketh me to lie down by still waters. God is willing to bridge the gap, but you got to be willing for God to work on you to fill the gap. Because God has always been in the business of changing people and making the difference whenever broken people was not enough. It's a woman at the well. Hey, I'm thirsty. Dip down and give me something. And hey, I'm going to quench your thirst, and you'll never thirst again. It's a woman with the issue of blood touching the hem of Jesus. And now everybody, she's already been thrown away by everybody else, but now God made her clean. How many of you remember when you first came into the church, when you first received the Holy Ghost, when you were baptized in the name of Jesus, how far gone you were from Him? I've got three people that'll say amen with me there. I know how far I was gone from God. And I'm thankful that I'm able to stand today and say I'm thankful for His mercy. I'm thankful for His grace. And just as God was good to you, I wonder when we will be able to stand in the gap for somebody else. Not just called to be a social club. Not just called to be another launching pad. But we're called to change our world, to change people. In World War II, there was a soldier by the name of Doss. He refused to carry a weapon, yet rescued some 70 to 80 men. And when he was interviewed, they said, "You was in the heat of battle. How did you find the strength to make it again?" He said, "Because there was something in me that all I could say is, Lord, help me get one more. God, help me to reach one more." That's what standing in the gap looks like, church. God, help me to knock one more door. God, help me to... God, help me to teach one more Bible study. God, let me reach out to somebody in the church that's been struggling. Because the gap in the world is always widening. Truth is being traded for nothing but opinion. Holiness is being mocked and ridiculed. And so we want to quit reaching to people because we feel like people have to automatically line up whenever we reach them. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Let them come as they are. Let them come broken. Let them come needing help. Let them come into the house of the Lord confused and broken. This world needs to understand that there is somewhere that they can get in touch with God. Prayerlessness is becoming a norm within the church. We need people to walk in and they need to feel the power of prayer. They need to feel the power of intercessory. Apostolic Lighthouse, I need you to hear me. We're all adults here right now. The church cannot just coast anymore. We got to get excited about what God's done. But you got to get more excited about what God's about to do. We can't just stay and rejoice over what he did 5 and 10 years ago. We got to get prepared for what he's about to do. But it's going to take soul winners. It's going to take people standing in the gap. It's going to take people that you're willing to testify how good God's been to you. Because we're not just accumulating people. We are preparing people to become what they felt they could never be. Nehemiah saw the walls of Jerusalem and he said, he didn't waste no time, elder. He said, come on, men. Come on, guys. The walls are broken down. And now it's up to us. And it says this, let us rise up and build. I asked this on Tuesday night. How many of you would testify right now, this is my church? Oh my goodness, come on now. Let me try that again, okay? How many of you would testify right now, this is my church? Let's try it one more time, Brother Crosswhite. Let's try this one more time. How many of you would testify this is my church? If this is your church, then let me tell you, you better be concerned with the way the community views your church. Because Nehemiah just didn't walk by waiting on something to do. He said, hey, let us build up. Let us rise up. Let us go to work. Let us propel the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because if this is your church, you got to get excited about standing in the gap. This coming week, y'all are preparing for the Piney Woods Fest. Is it just going to be another fundraiser? Or will we go into it with the mentality, God, I want to see you change somebody's life. I believe we could pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost standing right there. I believe there's going to be single mothers, single fathers. I believe there's going to be drug addicts. I believe there's going to be attorneys. There's going going to be doctors that need God. And if that's all that we look at it as, it's just another community event. This is revival, friends. This is an opportunity to touch people that we haven't been able to touch.
Right.
It's an opportunity for you to share how good God's been to you. How many of you would testify right now by the show of a hand that you know how good God's been? Y'all ready for this? When's the last time you told somebody about how good God's been to you? Amen. Would you lift your hands for just a moment?
God, I know what you're telling me. God, I don't know who it's about.
You know what excites me about Nehemiah, Pastor Crosswhite, and I'm going to say this, and I ain't looking at nobody but Pastor Crosswhite. I ain't even looking at you, Brother Pirtle. You know what excites me about Nehemiah? It wasn't that there was a tenacity to work. It's that he didn't have wandering eyes when everything didn't look good. I keep feeling this so strong this morning. Since I was over there praying a while ago, I felt to say this. And I'm going to say it, and I hope everybody hears my heart. I love this church. I love everybody here. There ain't a thing wrong with your church. You know what's wrong? Is we got people that have wandering eyes because it looks like rubble right now. But, watch, you ready? But he's still looking for a young person to fill the gap. He's not looking for the next best show.
That's it.
He's not looking for the launch of the next greatest program. He's looking for somebody that's genuinely falling in love with him so he can change who they are.
That's it.
God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. It's a parent or a grandparent that you get a burden enough to say, hey, we're turning media off for a little while and we're going to fall in love with prayer as a family. And we're going to watch God fix family issues in the church. God, have mercy.
Go ahead, bro. Hallelujah.
We got families falling apart right before our eyes. They looked apart. They looked good. But there's no fruit. It's the gap. Brother Pirtle. Genesis, she's here today. She ran up to me earlier this week. This happened this week. I think it was on Thursday. And she said, well, I guess I should just have two moms and two dads. I said, why? And she said, well, it seems like you're too busy for us. This happened late at night. You know what we were supposed to be doing? And we're not super spiritual ghostbusters or whatever you want to call it. We don't walk with our head in the third heavens all the time. She looked at me and she said, well, I guess I'm going to go to bed. My little girl's four. I said, why? I said, what's wrong? And then that's when she told me, well, I guess we should have two moms and two dads because y'all's too busy. A four-year-old. You know what we were supposed to be doing around that time? Around 8:30, right before they go to bed. We're supposed to turn the phones off and we're supposed to have a little bit of family prayer or family reading time. Folks, I hope nothing else walks into my home and bridges that gap.
Try to fill the Holy Ghost.
I hope I'm man enough to take the rebuke from a four-year-old where I feel, you may feel different, where I feel the Lord was talking through her. And I said, my God. And I felt him stronger than ever. And I started praying about this. And this message ain't just to y'all. It's to Tim Main right now. That if I'm not willing to let the gap be bridged by me, there's going to be things to fill that gap. And that gap, it gets wider and wider and wider. And then the evidence of you looking like what God intended becomes less and less and less. We need a church that's willing to stand up and say, this is my church. This is my home. This is my marriage. These are my children. I'm not going to let the public schools just raise my child. I'm not going to let my children just be raised at church. But I want to bring church into my home. I want to bridge the gap. You can't wait for somebody else to do it. Because if you wait too long, I promise somebody else will do it. And when something else walks into the church, and I'm going to say this, you can be present in body, but you can surely be absent in mind. And then we get offended whenever a substitute comes on the scene and they're zealous to work. They want God to move in lives. And so God starts doing something with them, Brother Pirtle, and I feel a certain type of way because somebody else let there be the gap filled through them. And now, here I am. I have no problem. And I hope I'm not stepping, Pastor Crosswhite, you know I am submitted to you. So if I step out of bounds with what I'm fixing to say, you just publicly say, move on or something, take the microphone, whatever. We feel so confident that we can just sit back and we can text on our phone during church and we don't feel like we need to be moved anymore by the Holy Ghost.
Oh. I'll stay with you on that one. Come on,
Rob. Well, I'll get the gist of the message, but I won't get involved in church. Pastor, don't ask me to do nothing, but I'm going to get my feelings hurt when somebody else gets to do it. Uh-oh. It's about bridging the gap between where you are right now and where you desire to be. Oh, God. Oh, I hope you're hearing my heart right now. It's about standing in the gap. I feel like I am warring for somebody today to make up your mind that I am done struggling. And I'm not just preaching to men today. I'm preaching to women that sit on the pew. And there is emotions that are raging. Because you don't feel involved. You feel alienated. But you're the one that won't get involved. You're the one that don't allow the gap to get filled. Because we like the way it feels. God. It's standing in the gap. It's making the difference. I got to ask somebody in this house. If you're little girls, watch the way you react in church, and then they watch the way you react on your drive home. Does it match?
Boy, you can hear a pin drop right now.
It's about filling that gap. Now, Brother Pirtle, me and you going to have a conversation, okay? If your children are watching the way you respond when, whether we're running or shouting, or whether it's quiet like it is right now, and your children's watching the way you respond, is it their fault if they sit there and they sit still and they never get involved in church if you never do? We get disgruntled with our youth, but our youth are doing what they see.
That's it. Come on.
We're not bridging the gap.
Hear it.
We are entitling them to stay the same.
Hear it.
God.
Preach to us.
And we want to say, well, come out from among them and be ye separate. Yeah, that's a great scripture. But if we never allow there to be a separation in our lives, because the spirit can discern the flesh, but the flesh can't discern the things of the spirit. If that's all we're so concerned about is being pretty Pentecostal, but never relationship driven Pentecostals. It's ever widening. It's somebody walking up to you at work and saying, Brother Pirtle, I need God. I need something. They did it because they recognized something. If we never produce the fruit in bridging the gap, then nobody's ever going to recognize the fruit that we bear.
That's it.
I'm closing if you want to come help me. Would you lift your hands with me for a moment?
God, I don't want to say it. God.
Your church being progressive is not bridging the gap. I'm going to go ahead and say what I have felt. Your church being the newest and the hypest and the most relevant on the outside is not bridging the gap. And we look for greener pastures. God, I feel it so strong this morning. Folks, y'all got to quit looking at other churches like it's going to fulfill your problems. I need somebody to hear me right now. That you got your eyes wandering and then you wonder what's wrong and why you don't feel involved in the church. You can go to another church, but it's not going to fix the spiritual problem.
Right.
God made the difference for you, for everybody here, for me. Brother Colton, God's been merciful to Tim Main, that I am nobody to look anybody in the face and judge you. But let me say this, and I want to say it with a right spirit. That if I look you in the face and I ever feel like I'm above you, I'm not bridging the gap in the church. Whew, it's quiet here today. That if I can ever measure my level of holiness and say that you're struggling, I'm not bridging the gap. God, I feel this so strong this morning. Because we got to have a desire to grow. And if that desire to grow is just thrown away, it's not God's fault. And I also need you to hear me. It's not your pastor's fault. Well, why are they still doing what they're doing? That has no bearing on him or him. It has a bearing on bridging the gap. There's people that come in the church that they may never change. That don't lessen God. And that does not lessen the church. Because if we know that the rope is only so long,
that rope is 10 foot long and you know your ladder is only, God, I feel it so strong right now. Brother Crosswhite, I believe in revival.
Yes, sir.
I believe God is trying to change things. But what if you never let God change it? And you know that rope is 10 foot long. And you keep playing. And you keep letting go. And you keep letting go. You keep letting go. You know what I wish we would have a revival of? Is people tying a knot and hanging on.
Come on, there you go.
I'm not just letting it slip by anymore. I don't know about y'all, but this thing's wrapping up.
Yes, sir.
We've heard it preached for years. I've heard it preached since I was a child, a young child. It's happening faster than what we had ever expect. I'm closing. Go ahead, sis.
Amen.
But Brother Colton, what are we doing to make it count right now? I'm going to make a statement. And I know it's going to upset some people, but I need y'all to hear me. It's a statement that I made Tuesday evening. If you can't get excited about your church, the guest isn't going to get excited either. We need preachers. We need teachers who refuse to stay silent. We need a church that's not just moved by the latest of fads. We need a church that is praying. But we need saints that we're not waiting for anybody else to do it. I wish somebody today could say, God, I'm going to be the one to bridge the gap. I'm going to be the one to answer the call. Isaiah 6 and 8, here I am. Here am I, send me. It's standing in the gap. It's making the difference. It's becoming the bridge. Somebody else can walk across like Jesus did for you. Would you stand with me right now? If God comes back today, if God comes back today, if today's your day, did you make it count? Brother Club, what example did we leave? I need everybody to hear me right now. I know we're not running, we're not shouting, we may do that tonight. But folks, we got to wake up and we got to say, God, I need you to change me. I need you to reach into me. We need some elders today that maybe it's been a long time since you stepped out and ran to the altar. And you need to say, I need to show these young people that I know how to pray. We need some people that are struggling and that you would actually admit that, God, I've been struggling, to step out and say, God, I need you to touch and heal me today. It's not the most glamorous altar call that you're going to get, but I'm telling you, I'm standing here. I woke up at around 4:00 this morning warring for somebody in this sanctuary this morning. And I knew it was going to be a hard service. I knew it was going to be like this. Come on. Oh, shalaboko. Ila rakele masandarasai. We got people that's walked into the building this morning and it's okay.
for you just to get by another service. It's not okay. You need God to reach to where you are, and you need to say, God, I need you to change me. Come on, you need to get leaving off your mind. Come on, you need to get relationship on your mind. God, I need you to change me right now. Come on, church. Oh, yes. Come on.
Take me back.
Come on, men, lift your voice.
Take me back.